This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Do you drive a vehicle? Then you'll find AutoCorrect helpful, especially on Coach Charlie's Tip of the Week. Listen to our podcast with me, Coach Charlie Melton, on any podcasting platform or on the MPB Public Media app.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Fix It 101, the home improvement show to help you do it yourself. I'm Lacey Alexander here with Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl, and licensed contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. We have made it to April, and the unpredictability of the spring season is among us. So let's work through your spring maintenance list and any other home improvement projects you have at home. Also, we can talk about air conditioner maintenance before the high temps set in. Good morning, Pam and Jeff. Are your vehicles covered in pollen, yes or no?
Well, actually, I drove through that rain coming back from Hattiesburg yesterday. And she got a wash.
Yeah, right, an informal wash.
I tell you, it was something. It was a lot of water. Did it rain up here?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, we didn't get a drop.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I didn't get any rain in Luxtad or Madison.
Yeah. A little bit of rain in Brandon. A little bit of rain
It was between McGee in Jackson.
Yeah.
It come a deluge.
Really? Okay.
My Alabama
family had some thunder last night, so it must have been warming up when it passed through us.
Yeah. Well, it cooled everything off, you know. You got to have your jacket on today.
Yeah, well, not for long. Not in this building, you don't have to have
your
jacket
on. Well, not in
on.
This building, yeah. We're a little warm here.
So, happy April to you both. What is on your spring to-do list this season?
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about was I drove down to Hattiesburg yesterday to do a home maintenance inspection for a lady who'd lived in the house, you know, close to 40 years.
Oh, wow.
Maybe that. I don't remember. Anyway, a long, long time she had been there. And she had a new water heater put in. And, folks, I don't care if it's new. If it ain't put in right,
that ain't gonna work.
Well, it'll work, but it could, you know, you could have some problems.
Mm.
So, you know, found a couple of things there and then helped her out with some air conditioning issues in a room that would never cool. So we kind of worked out what some possibilities are on that. And I wanted to talk about something else that happened a couple of weeks ago. And Jeff, you and I've talked about this before. I went in and did an inspection for some folks that wanted to sell their mother's home.
Mm.
All right. So that they wouldn't have any surprises whenever they got ready to sell it. Smart, smart, smart idea.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So I go in and they were like, yeah, the furnace in over the garage is not very old. I was like, oh, okay. All right. So I was checking everything out. Well, I went in one attic and there was a water heater and I was like, holy cow, that water heater was probably 25 years old and it was completely rusted all the way down the sides. So I got out of the attic. I was like, I think you should drain that right now.
Code red, people.
Yeah, right now. So they're going to give an allowance on a water heater. All right. Smart idea. So this, because the new owner may want a tankless.
True.
Right. So they're just going to give them an allowance. Well, then I went up in the garage attic on this brand new condensing furnace. A condensing furnace produces what? Condensation.
Did you see my raised eyebrows?
Yeah.
Did you see?
It's called a condensing furnace.
Sure, sure.
For a reason, because it puts out condensate.
Mm-hmm.
It's high efficiency, and when you have high efficiency gas furnaces, they will put out water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it hadn't been installed right.
Mm.
And the entire cabinet was totally rusted out.
Oh, Lord.
Oh,
and the unit was only like 4 or 5 years old.
So they're going to have to put in another allowance, or what did they decide to do?
They're going to have to make some decisions around that. You know, if it were me, I'd call the guy that put it in. Or girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, some ain't right. And they didn't put the vent on right. So, folks, all I'm saying is, just because you got something new.
Well, you know, look, I've told this story before. I'm buying a new house. I don't need an inspection.
Mm.
Well, here's my theory. I'm getting a home inspection on a new house before I'm getting one on an existing. And I'm going to tell you why. We, as a builder, we do the best possible job we can do. But we've never spent the night in that particular property.
Sure.
We've never used the microwave. We've never used the dishwasher. We've turned it on. We've never cooked in the oven, cooked on the cooktop. We've never done that. We turn them on. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it is working properly. Now, I don't want to scare anyone. Let's just say you buy a brand new home and you don't get a home inspection and one of the major appliances break. It's under warranty.
Right.
But for
when you want to know that ahead of time.
Well, of course. You know, for the, what is it, $500, $600, $800 get a home inspection?
Yeah, depending on the size.
Right. Okay. So 2,000 square foot, what are we talking?
About 400, 500
okay,
bucks.
Good,
yeah.
Good. So for $500, that's a lot of peace of mind.
Well, and taking that point even to an existing house, if you've lived in your house over 15 years, you really do need to get it inspected.
Yes. No, I'm not saying you don't. I'm going to get everything I buy inspected.
Well, I'm saying if you've lived in the house,
sure,
and you plan on living in the house.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I recommend getting an inspection because if I wish I could see the hands of our viewers, if I said, do you know what a condensing furnace is? There'd not be a hand that would go up.
True.
You know, but somebody's going to sell you one and install it. And if it's not done correctly, then more than likely 5-6 years down the road, you're going to be responsible for that expense.
Yeah.
And so.
Yes, I see your point. Now.
Yeah. Yes. I think a home inspection should be like a physical, you know, like a doctor's appointment.
Right.
You know, I go every year now to have everything checked out.
I understand.
Every 10 years I have other things checked. I mean, it's just to maintain my health. Well, to maintain the health of your house, I think it should be inspected every 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not inspected right before you want to sell it.
Exactly. Because then people get mad and they're always mad at me. And I'm like, well, don't shoot the messenger.
Right. Yeah.
I know. The same thing happens to me. You know, I'll get a phone call. People will want me to perform the repair list. Well, it's a no-win situation for me because the seller's mad at me or mad at the situation that there's something needs to be fixed on their house because it was like that when they bought it.
When I bought it.
And then the buyer is, I'm not buying it unless you fix it. Mm. So it's you know, I want to be the donut guy. I want everybody happy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the, you know, so for me, I would rather not even do them.
Right.
Well, I don't like doing them.
I don't like doing real estate inspections as much either because, and really now more and more, I am doing it for homeowners who are either getting ready to sell and they'd like to know what's going to come up. Or for people who've been in their house for a while who are wanting to maintain it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't go to the doctor and you have cancer.
That's right.
Then, you know, you let it go for a while, you may not survive that.
Pay me now, pay me later, but you're going to pay me.
You're going to find out.
That's right.
I mean, the issues usually will rise to the surface. And one other thing, since we're on this, and you were talking about air conditioning. Folks, please, 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 please consider having an inline condensate trip stop put on your air conditioner.
All right, Pam, tell us what that is.
Okay. Air conditioners produce what? Condensation.
We said it before, water.
Yeah, they put out water. Well, if the water gets gunky, it'll clog up your drain. And you don't know it till there's a rain shower in your bedroom because it's
now,
coming through the ceiling.
What I install in ours, we install a limit switch in the pan.
Yes, but this is better.
I'm not familiar with what you're talking
it's
about.
It's an inline condensate trip stop. And so they put it in the auxiliary drain.
Yep.
So if the coil starts to fill up with water,
sure.
It pops that trip stop and turns the unit off. So you don't even end up with water in the pan.
I got you. Okay.
It's more better.
I understand.
A lot more better.
Yeah.
To do that. So think about it. And they're not expensive.
Right. That's right.
It's not terribly expensive to do something like that. And I had it. Timmy did. He came and, you know, with Timmy McClendon with AC Remedies, who's been on our show before, he came in and installed me a brand new unit. and he put one of those little suckers in, and I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Because no more, mine's in the closet. So what happens is it starts dripping underneath the, in the return, and right. you have a flood and ruin your floor before you know it. Well, this will prevent that.
That's right. Well, you know, the pipes that we run out of the house, you know, everybody asks me, well, what's that pipe for? Well, if you see water running out of it, call me.
Yeah, right.
And how many people are watching that? Now, what they're going to do...
Well, because they're always on the back side of the house somewhere.
Or behind a bush.
Yeah.
This is the Call Jeff pipe.
Yeah. Yeah, those little drip lines. And I can't tell you how many times I'll go to inspect a house and there's water in the yard. I'm like, what is going on? And it's not the house I'm inspecting. It's the house next door, and their drip line is just pouring water. Mm. So I'll go over and knock on the door, and I'll say, you may want to get that looked at.
Give them your card, Pam.
Yeah, there's something ain't right.
Today, we are talking about your spring maintenance list, air conditioners. Pam is preaching over here about condensation. Whatever project you might have at your home, you might not get back the answer you want, but we answer all questions, so stay tuned. You're listening to Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. I'm Lacey Alexander here with Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl, and licensed contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. Tell us what you're working on, what's on your spring maintenance list. We're also talking about some AC maintenance today. First question for both of you, how long should an air conditioner unit last?
I don't have my crystal ball. Well, the warranty's 7 years, so they usually last about eight.
Really?
Yeah. No, you buy a good unit.
15, about 15 years.
You buy a good Train or a American Standard.
Linux.
Yeah. You buy a good quality, high efficiency. Okay. Now, that's the key.
Sure.
High efficiency means it's going to do its job, but it's not going to work as hard.
Mm.
That therefore, you're not, you know, when it's 100 degrees out, it's not working as hard as the less expensive unit, if this makes sense. So, yeah, I think it's very possible 10, 12, 15 years out of these.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
if they're maintained.
If they're maintained, yeah. And well, your interior components are different between an expensive model or a high-end model and a low-end model. The low-end, the metals used are not nearly as durable as the other ones.
Well, you know, the old saying, you get what you pay for. That's the best thing that can happen in life, is that you do get what you pay for. The worst thing is that you don't get what you pay for.
Yeah.
So think about that for a minute. Spend the extra money, but make sure you're getting the extra.
Right. And I would consider, too, and I did this. You know, folks, I give out advice, but I try to follow my own advice, mm-hmm. is I have something replaced before it breaks.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I knew my air conditioner was older. I had Timmy coming in and doing the service. He told me that it could probably last another season. I was like, we're going to do this right now.
It's going out Sunday, right after church, when everyone's coming over. That's when the air is going out.
Yep. Or when you're sitting on the beach and you come back and the house is flooded because it went out.
You know, I put in a brand new train at my house, and I want to say it came with a 10-year parts and labor warranty.
Probably could have. I did American Standard.
I like those.
Yeah,
I really do.
They're the same company.
That's right.
So when people call you and say the AC is not getting my house as cold as I'd like, what's typically the problem?
Oh my goodness, it could be all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
The house I was looking at yesterday, it was because they had done an addition and just tapped into the system, the existing system.
See, there you go.
Now,
the systems, this is something people need to know about air conditioning. Air conditioning doesn't pump in cold air. Air conditioning sucks out hot air.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically. That's kind of the theory.
Yeah.
That's what air does.
It gets rid of heat.
It removes the heat. So, that meaning, understanding that, you have to have calculations and have to have the right size air in that space. Mm. Rule of thumb, every 500 square feet of living space, you want 1 ton of air. So let's say we have 2,000 square feet home. So how many tons of air do we need?
Four.
Okay. Now let's.
I had to do the math. I was like,
let's say that we do a 500, 300 square foot room addition. We can't take our 4 tons of air and cool that.
Yeah.
Because we're at our max. We have to put in more air.
Sure.
Now the same problem happens if you were to go 5 tons of air and you need 4. This is just like oil in your car. You don't want too much. You want just the right amount.
Just the right amount. Yeah, and that goes with gas in your car, too. If you ever fill it, it'll, and I know this from personal experience.
Runs out the top?
Yeah, no, it knocks out the solenoid, and it's a $600 repair. So, but another thing that was going on.
She's making a mess, Jeff.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Don't put too much gas in your car.
Yeah, do not. Not too much. Yeah. Anyway, they didn't have any return air in that room, either.
Ah, well, that's a problem, too.
So, return air, you've got to, you're conditioning the air that's in the house. So, you've got to suck in the air from
that's
all
right.
parts of the house.
That's
and
right.
so, we talked about some solutions and way to kind of maybe think about doing things a little bit different. My suggestion had been is to go off the second floor and zone it and then put in a return. So, we'll see what the AC people say. But anyway.
Is it ever too hot for an AC to work properly?
Yeah. I mean, air is only going to, is it 10, 12 degrees? What is it?
Yeah, the drop in the air that you're conditioning, when it really has to do with, are you pulling air from somewhere other than inside the house? And if you are, and it's extremely hot outside, and you're pulling in outside air, like one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life is a return air right by the garage door.
Yeah.
That's just insane.
You know, air is only going to lower the ambient temperature a certain percentage. If it's 100 degrees out, I think you're only going to get, I think it's about, I don't know what that figure is.
It really
15 degrees or something.
Yeah, I mean there's
lower
a, there's
than
a,
the than the ambient
12
temperature.
To 18 is kind of what they say. But you got to remember, in the South, if we don't get rid of the humidity, that's what we're trying to do is dry the air out.
That's right.
Get rid of the heat and dry the air out. And if your return air is not sealed up, and you're pulling air from the attic or from the outside, or you know, those things have to be put in specific ways. Well, keep in mind, too, folks, like my house was built in 1958. And so older houses might not be built to run an air conditioning system efficiently.
Hmm.
So you have to accommodate that and do some, you know, figuring around it. Another thing that I see is people will put in a brand new air conditioner and they don't do anything about the ductwork.
Sure. Mm.
Well, if the ductwork's not sized for the new unit that you put in, it's just not going to work right.
Woo. That's a lot of moving parts.
It is. Yeah, I have the biggest thing that I'll see in older houses is that people will come in and they'll put in one of these brand new units that's a, like a, I don't know, what are the SEER ratings now, Jeff? Like 13 or 11 or?
Yeah, I think our standard is what is it, 13 or 14 probably?
Yeah, which is a high energy efficiency type unit, and they don't do anything about the ductwork, and I'll go in and then be mold and mildew around all the registers.
Jeez.
And it's because the ductwork wasn't resized.
Yuck. You got a gross job, Pam.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting job, and, you know, my favorite thing, I just love doing these inspections for homeowners, because I can go in and then I can give them because it's like me in math. If somebody wants me to figure something out, I'm like a deer in the headlights. I just go blank whenever it comes to that. Well, a lot of people do that on their homes. They're just not even sure which is the next right thing to do. And so what I'm doing is going in and giving them a punch list of, I want you to do this first. And while you're doing this, you can do this one.
Mm.
You know, so one of the things that was going on in the house that I was looking at the other day is that it needed a new roof. I think there was a lot of storm damage going on. Well, the ventilation wasn't correct on it.
Mm.
There were some venting issues. They had put on a new roof after Katrina, added a ridge vent. Well, the problem is that they had closet attics that didn't have any ventilation. So it was getting incredibly hot. Well, now that's going to affect your air conditioning.
Well, how about that? Guys, we've got our first call of the day. Mikey and Mobile has a question about a heating unit. Mikey, you're on the air. What's going on today?
I got a question about so many heating units today, funny.
All right, come on.
I mean, I'm not laughing. Y'all are.
Yeah, she's serious.
Yeah, well, why do you need heat in Mobile is what I want to
know. Well, let's just say I tried some colder climates, and I wanted to come back home where I could grow turnip greens and make cornbread. And
there you go. There you go.
I'm loving it.
Okay. But anyway, oh, God, y'all took me off track. Easily distracted. Heat pumps. I have got, like I said, in more than one place, in more than one location, with a couple of different kinds of situations as far as the properties themselves, the housing themselves. Heat pumps. Unfortunately, there have been other things that have happened, and some people decided to rearrange some of the interiors of my structures. And so previously I had a gas furnace backup with heat pumps. Should I just replace the heat pumps, or should I? I know this is not unit specific here that I'm asking it. Just please help me to understand something about heat pumps and how they're gonna work better for me in Mobile.
You know, I wish Timmy was here today. I'm a big believer in heat pumps in specific situations. I think it's a good idea in Mobile and Florida. I think they're, you know, for the amount of heat. But, you know, it's like when I drove down to Fairhope to help some folks with a situation where it was just not getting warm in the house, and it didn't have anything to do with the heat pump. It had to do with the install.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a unit is only as good as how it was installed. You know, I mean, if it's not installed right, then you're going to have problems. And if you've got a unit with let's say you've got flex feeder lines on your ductwork and it's all crimped up, or your return isn't sealed, or, you know, there's just so many different things that could be going on with it that is keeping the unit itself from working. You could put in gas and still have the same problem.
Well, I'm thinking of dropping the gas, to tell you the truth. I already have. And I found that I can pretty well manage things with, you know, making my own solar engineering and, you know, decline and insulation adjustments and things, because I like the fresh air too. And also when I need it, which is less often, back up, you know, just small electrical units.
Yeah.
And fans.
Yeah. And are your properties older?
One is, I guess the other one is too now, they're different sizes and they're in different parts of Mobile.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that these energy companies, they'll offer a free audit, and you could think about doing that on your properties. That's the my client yesterday had an audit done on her property where the energy company, they want you to be able to be efficient. So, you know, they just sent somebody in who did an audit. I took a look at it. It was decent, you know, but if you're really wanting to get to the issue, I think heat pumps are fine. And just to kind of try to explain a heat pump as easy as I can, a heat pump has a little valve in it, and it switches. And instead of taking the heat out, it brings the heat in. So it's just
that makes sense. That's a heat.
Yeah, it just does the exact opposite. So, for instance, you can go out to your condensing unit outside in the summertime. If you hold your hand over it when the fan is going, it's hot.
Uh huh.
If you go over to it in the wintertime and put your hand over, it's cold. And so your condenser's working in the winter and the summer. It works all the time. So it works in the when you're trying to cool the house down. It's trying to get rid of the heat. When you're trying to warm the house up, it's trying to get rid of the cold.
Oh, you are so helpful. Y'all are just wonderful.
There you
if
go.
If I was there, I'd be giving y'all.
There you go. Well, good.
Thank you.
It sounds like we helped. Good job, Pam.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pam, for your heat pump wisdom.
Your heat pump class 101.
The guru, Pam.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll take some email questions. Keep talking about spring maintenance. You're listening to Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio, the home improvement show to help you do it yourself. I'm Lacey Alexander, here with my friends Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl, and Licensed Contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. We've been talking about spring maintenance today. We've been talking about AC units, basically just some warm weather projects. If you want to join the conversation with us this morning, talk about what you've got going on in your own home, send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. Speaking of emails, I have a few here I wanted to ask you guys. This is from Becky. Please tell me where I can find the formula for the product that kills mold, mildew, and fungus. Is it the same product that can be used on all three, or do I have to know exactly what I'm dealing with in order for it to be effective?
Pam?
Concrobium.
And you can purchase it.
Big box stores have it.
It's easier to purchase than to make it.
Yeah. If you don't have a big project, I think it's $10 a bottle.
Yeah, it's just go in there and get it. It is good stuff. It really is.
Yeah.
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 And it works.
It's in the cleaning stuff.
Right.
It's probably right next to the Clorox will not purchase.
Right. Do not kill it with the bleach. Bleach has its place at the home, but it's not to be put in a pump up sprayer.
Yeah, and I'm also going to say this, folks. I'm going to get on my soapbox very quickly. Do not put your cleaning products underneath your kitchen sink.
You said that.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? You explained why.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us why.
If you don't put the top on real tight, it will off gas out of the bottle and rust out everything underneath.
Yeah, fun fact.
There's chlorine in a lot of cleaning products, and that the chlorine is very corrosive.
And don't put your chlorine next to your electric panel
or your
swimming pool
or your Harley.
You'll rust that out.
Or your Harley, or any
of your tools.
See, I feel like everybody in the world puts cleaning stuff under their sink.
They do.
Well, of course they do.
And so it is wild to me that I am learning at the ripe age of 29 not to do that.
Well, you know, as long as everything is sealed.
Sure.
You're fine.
You're all right. Yeah.
You can store chlorine as long as it's sealed.
Don't
get lazy and leave the top off.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, listen, I was doing an inspection a couple of weeks ago, and the homeowner had put a bottle of chlorine in every walk-in shower.
Yeah.
And all of the fixtures were rusted.
Yep.
Let's keep the conversation on cleaning going. This is from Nancy. One toilet bowl gets a tan ring and discolored lines daily. I've cleaned it, but it comes right back. Other toilets in the house don't have the problem. I've heard it may be caused by bacteria and to use bleach, but I've heard you say not to use bleach. Any other suggestions? That's from Nancy.
You can use the bleach, but what you don't want to do is pour it into the bowl and let it sit there, because it'll off gas and rust out the components in your tank.
Mm.
So put it in there, brush it up really good. You can let it sit maybe for 5 minutes, but don't go to work.
Right.
So, and two, since it's not happening in the rest of the commode, she could have a porcelain issue on the commode.
Okay. Yeah.
I've seen that a few times. We had a particular high-end toilet that we installed. It was extremely high-end, but the porcelain inside the flush, it makes a big S in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was not as smooth as it should be, and it kept clogging up. And finally, we found out that it was a malfunction in the actual device.
So, did you have to replace the toilet?
Yes, it was defective.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a brand new one. Mm. So, you know, things can happen.
So that person was irritated.
Well, just for a minute.
Yeah, just for a minute. I mean, there's always a solution.
Hey, look, we put men on the moon. We can most likely
fix it. We can fix a toilet. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know.
Yeah.
Let's take one more before we get back to the phones. This is from Wanda. She says, I noticed a crack at the top of the back door of my house after the door wouldn't open. Mm. I've had two companies survey the damage. One say it's not good. The other saying it's not bad. So y'all are the tiebreaker to determine what is true.
I love it.
Can she get some suggestions on what the crack at the top of that back door might be indicating?
Sure.
I mean,
there's some movement.
Okay.
Now, am I saying it's good or bad? Movement's never good.
Sure.
Is it devastating? Probably not. You can have a little movement. You're in central Mississippi. We have what's called Yazoo clay. Mm. We do everything we can to mitigate that. And 99% of the time, we're very successful doing that. Now, how do we fix it? The first thing I would do is get a qualified structural engineer. That does not mean call the foundation company.
Yeah.
That means get a qualified structural engineer to do an evaluation of my foundation.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Well, the door not opening is what irks me. Like, that to me makes it sound like a much bigger problem.
Not really.
No.
And not really.
Yeah. Nah. And it could be a big problem, but it's probably not.
Yeah. If the crack, what you want to do, if you've got it in one place, and when you said back door, it made me think about it, it's probably close to the garage.
Sure.
Well, a lot, sometimes garages will move independently of the house, and it'll cause a few cracks here and there. I would watch it for a minute, and if the crack gets bigger and you have other cracks showing up, so then I would certainly, you know, then start jumping into action.
Yeah.
But one tiny little crack and a door not opening.
Well, my only reservation with the door not opening, that is my egress if I've got to get out. I want that door working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing and get that door to operate in case you have to leave quickly.
There you go.
And that's the only way out. So let's get that fixed.
All right. I'm with you, Jeff. I don't like being closed up.
Somewhere. Well, now we've gone 50-50.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right,
she's
right.
Back to us. So, sorry.
I'll be the tiebreaker, Wanda. Get it fixed. There you
well,
go.
Well, let me tell you about. So
get at least get the door fixed.
The number one question we get is usually about foundation. All right.
Sure.
So, and, you know, even in this house that I was at yesterday, there was a pretty significant crack above the garage. Okay. Well, I started getting some of the history. It showed up after the drought we had last year. Mm-hmm. Then there were some enormous pine trees right outside there that she had cut down.
Mm-hmm.
So during the drought, what happened when you have big trees that are close to the house and we go through a drought, the trees are thirsty.
Yep.
And they'll drink up all the
yes,
water in your soil.
Yep.
Well, when you drink up all the water in the soil, everything drops.
Yep.
Yeah. The trees are
well,
thirsty,
it shrinks.
Pam says.
Everything is shrinking up. Mm. And so I was telling her what I would do is I would wait another year. Now that you've taken care of the trees, aren't drinking anything anymore because they're gone, you know, and give it a minute to come back up.
Yeah.
Pam needs her own PBS Kids show to explain, you know, the trees are thirsty. let's go ahead and go back to the phones. Homer in Clarksdale has a question about dehumidifiers. Homer, you're on the air this morning. What's going on?
Hey, how's everybody?
Good, Homer. How are you?
All right. I was calling Jeff and Pam to take this. My question is, if I've got a AC unit that's working good and part of the AC is to pull moisture out there, because that's what makes us feel hot. If I added maybe a couple of dehumidifiers in my house, will that help? Am I spending shooting blanks? Would that do me any good, spending some money on a dehumidifier?
Well, you could. I mean, if you wanted to, you could certainly do that. The problem you're going to want to run into is dehumidifiers are a lot of work. You get an independent one, they have a pan in the bottom, so
right.
You're pulling moisture out. That pan's going to fill up, and if you don't keep up with it, you're going to have a mess. So a correctly working air conditioner is a dehumidifier.
It is your dehu.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a big believer in that. I want my HVAC system doing that job for me.
Yeah. If I were even to think about it, I might get one. I'm going to put it in the bathtub.
Yeah.
You know, in a guest hall bathtub or something so that it's, I had one. Listen, I did a home inspection years ago, a log cabin way out in the woods, had a basement. And I was like, row, you know, because basements are just, anyway, they can be some trouble. So I go down there, and sure enough, they had a dehumidifier sitting on the bathroom counter with the drain going into the sink.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, that's smart. Hmm. Not a bad idea in that situation. Because when you go underground in Mississippi, you're going to get a lot of water. It's just part of it. It's just going to be very humid down there. Right. So that, I think that was a good application. If my air conditioners were, I tell you what I would do, Homer. I would go and buy me a, and you can get these at, you can get them at the big box stores. You can go into like Walmart or Target and get you a little gauge that tells you what the humidity is in your house. And if it's below 65% or staying around 65%, you're fine.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a couple of those. All right, well, that just answered my question. I was just wondering, I'm trying to put one together and come up, maybe coming up with three here. All right.
All right, thank you, Homer. We hope we helped you out today. This is Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. I'm Lacey Alexander here with Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl, and licensed contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. Real quick, folks, April is National Safe Digging Month. 811 is a free call. Call it before you dig, and it is the law. Just wanted to throw that out there before y'all went looking for treasure. All right, let's keep going with our email questions. This is from Beth. I have a leak inside the north wall of my one-story house that is starting to water rot a portion of the 2x12 running over the top of my garage door. Mm. I think that the leak is coming from the roof somewhere, but there is no obvious cause for the leak. Do I need a contractor or a builder to find and then repair the damage to the roof and house wall? Question mark. And that is from Beth.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, no. Think about what we just heard.
Yeah.
I've got a main support that is spanning the length of the garage door that is
rotting.
Yeah. Immediately.
What should the next step for her be?
I don't know what else to say.
You think she needs an inspection first, or she needs to call the.
Well,
identifying the source of the water would be, you know, that would be huge.
Yeah.
It's obviously a roof leak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't know. Your condensate line could be running through, you know. I mean, like the other day, I opened up the sink. I was looking under the sink, and it was full of water. And I was like, oh, there's a water leak. And it was the air conditioner that was right next to it.
Okay.
I mean, nevertheless, let's say in the next 5 minutes, they figure out where the water's coming from.
Yeah.
All we've done is, I know where the water's coming from.
Yeah.
It's coming from above that support.
Yeah.
I can assure you.
All right. We've been diagnosed.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Let's fix it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So a licensed contractor should be, especially on a support beam.
Yeah.
So that's not something we're going to be divided on, Beth. You need to call somebody.
And again, this is not the end of the world.
Sure.
No.
This is very manageable, but let's do it now.
Yes.
Before the gravity pulls that to the floor.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's scary.
Well, you know, support beams are important.
You think?
Well,
they have a lot of value.
There's a roof setting on it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's stuff sitting on it. I was telling, during the break, I was telling Jeff about a house where they had redone the foundation. And I was afraid for my life whenever I went down there and saw what they had done. And that was back in January. I got the call the other day that some of the walls in the house are sinking.
All right.
Let's because keep... there were the support beams are not supported.
Are y'all trying to kill Pam out here?
Yeah,
with
I was
these...
like, I was afraid.
I'm so afraid. Well, let's go to your specialty here, Pam. This is from Greg. My son recently purchased a home in North Carolina that has a crawl space under half the house and a basement under the other half. The previous owner insulated the basement section by installing unfaced fiberglass batting between the joist and the basement section. Although the home inspector did not flag that, my son wonders whether the unfaced batting is a potential problem as strands gradually fall off. Ultimately, the basement will be used for storage and perhaps to hold up the washer and dryer. Any thoughts?
Well, they put it in right because you should not see the paper side of the insulation. I mean, it should go, unless you're going to put walls up. You know, if you're going to put sheetrock up, then you should be able to see the paper side. So, yeah, I think that's actually a good thought is, yeah, it can.
The strands falling off, that doesn't bother you?
It could. I mean, it could cause, you know, particles to come. If you're going to use it as a living area, you need to sheetrock it.
Gotcha. Well, he does say it won't be used as recreation. It'll be used as just storage and maybe the washer and dryer. Okay, let's go back to the phones, our last 5 minutes of the show. This is Jack and Brandon with an AC question. Jack, you are on the air. What's going on today?
My call is about, y'all were talking about ductwork. Our house is about 45 years old, and we've seen different places about having the ductwork cleaned and then resealed with some type of chemical application. Do y'all recommend that?
No.
Tell them why.
No. Because it's 45 years old. It is. The shelf life is over.
So are you saying go new ductwork?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. If I'm going to spend some money, I'm going to spend it on redoing my ductwork. And I did that. That took my own advice. I tore out all the old stuff. My house was built in 1958. In 2000, and I think it was around 9, I was going to put in a new unit. So I just had them rebuild the ductwork. And I watched them. I was telling somebody this the other day. Man, you talk about nervous. I watched them seal every joint on that ductwork. I wanted to make sure that it was sealed up. And my house went from being just dusty and nasty to just, I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
What a difference it made just by updating the ductwork.
That's right. And, you know, now that sounds a little extreme, but it's not. That ductwork, what Pam is talking about right now is so important. You know, that is something that I study very hard in new houses because it's so easy to see when we're building new,
mm-hmm.
you know, because somebody's putting that ductwork together and then we're insulating that. I want that ductwork taped. I want it sealed. I want it hung properly so there's no sags in it. So, yeah, you looking at all of that is money well spent.
Yeah. Now, if it was brand new and you wanted to, or even 15 years old, I think cleaning it's a good idea. But keep in mind, if your unit has not been that 45 years, and this was happening in my house, when they started tearing that ductwork out, it crumbled.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to have that cleaned, and I had to have it cleaned. You know, I tried to burn the house down several years ago, so I had to clean the ductwork.
Right.
Well, it was crystal clear whenever they were going through because those brushes were going against new metal.
Right.
If that had happened and I tried to clean old ductwork, it would have just shredded it.
Sure.
So that's the problem you're going to run into in stuff that's old like that. So I wouldn't spend my money on that on 45 years.
That's a good point.
You know, if it was newer, yeah, maybe. But on old stuff like that, all you're going to do is tear it up when you clean it.
Did that help?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Jack, yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for being our last call of the hour. Jeff, Pam, happy spring to you both. I hope the allergies don't get y'all too bad. And I hope y'all are working on some curb appeal projects now that it's nice and springy outside.
Oh, it's awesome outside. It's beautiful. Yeah, I am definitely doing that.
Till the next rainstorm, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm out in the yard. I'm loving it.
Well, as you should be. And hopefully AC works for when you're ready to go back inside.
It does. It is working like it's just awesome. So it's good. Yeah. And you know, when you think about the pollen too, that's another part of your air conditioning system, is that you want it to be able to kind of clean that air that's on the inside as well.
You know, I just had this thought. My air broke on our little house down in Pass Christiane on Saturday. Mm-hmm. The air broke at my house. The upstairs air quit at my house on Saturday.
Uh-oh. Now, there's a third. You know, it always happens in threes.
Gosh, I hope not.
Don't say that. Don't tell him that.
I've done cursed him.
We're going to go ahead and get out of here so Jeff can fix his air. Fix It 101 is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, Think Radio, and is funded by generous contributions from listeners like you. Our call screener was Charles Arnold. For Pam Pipus, Jeff Salmons, and my board op, Marissa Vaughn, I'm Lacey Alexander. Stay tuned for our Wednesday 10 a.m. program, Everyday Tech with Abram Nanny, and join us next Wednesday at 9 for Fix It 101 only on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.